We welcome back the Reverend Helena Ralston, who has kindly provided this week's reflection. Before moving to Sheffield, I was based in a church in Winsford, a town roughly in the middle of Cheshire. We had several schools in the parish, including our own church school, and so one Easter decided to invite the children into church, one class at a time, for a reenactment of the Passion, the journey Jesus makes in the last week of his life, from his arrival in Jerusalem on a donkey, to his death on the cross, and his resurrection. For each group of children, the cleaning of the temple section was a highlight. There was something about being encouraged to make as much mess and noise in church as possible that was apparently quite enticing. Interestingly, John, in his gospel account, puts this story at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This may have been to introduce Jesus' confrontation with the Jewish authorities from the start of the gospel. In a way, John's passion narrative starts from the beginning of the gospel, and chapter by chapter he develops the Pharisee witness statement against Jesus. Each story, each conversation, is pointing to the probability of the crucifixion. In a way, I suppose, you could say that John's gospel is the one that most aligns with this season of Lent, as each day is a day of preparation, reflection, and journeying towards Good Friday, and that glorious Easter Sunday. This week I attended a lecture on the Eucharist and interchurch Eucharistic sharing. One of the participants commented at the end, how refreshing it was to listen to someone step away from the rules that we can bind ourselves within church, and come back to the love of Jesus Christ. For me, this passage resonates with that sentiment. Jesus is walking into the temple, as he may well have done numerous times before, but this time he has had enough, he seemingly loses it. What is happening in God's house? What is being reflected to the Gentiles that God's house is for? Where is the love of God to be found in this marketplace, or den of thieves, as the other gospel writers put it? A short trip to the Old Testament will help us to understand some of Jesus' outrage. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 11, God says to the people, "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats." And in Hosea chapter 6 verse 6, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Going back to Isaiah, a new vision of the desire of God is given in chapter 58 verse 6. "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke." God told his people numerous times that he does not want empty sacrifices, for they are worthless to him, but no one was listening. Even after the temple was destroyed, a new one was built to be used in just the same way. There was no space or desire for a fresh revelation from God. The temple priests and the Pharisees knew how they wanted to keep things ticking over in a way they were comfortable with, and no amount of prophecy was going to change this for them. I wonder how many churches will go back to doing things exactly how they were done previously, once restrictions have been eased and it is safe to worship together again. Will we have the courage to provide the space to learn afresh from this enforced exile from our churches? Back to our gospel reading. The action of Jesus took place in the outer area of the temple, the place where non-Jews were allowed. It is an interesting reflection to think what non-Jews might have thought of the God of Israel, when the first thing they saw of the temple were people making money-selling sacrifices made to God. And the money changers didn't have a great reputation for honesty and charity. They were exchanging Roman money for the coinage acceptable for use in the temple. You will know that when money is traded or exchanged, there is always commission to be made, and there wasn't much governance around the rates of commission. The sellers of animals for sacrifice weren't much better. The whole system implied that worship connecting with God in any way costs money. In summary, God wants our money. What utter blasphemy is that? Jesus cannot allow this blasphemy to take place anymore, and in his furious rage, he is not just making noise and mess. Jesus is clearing a path to God. He is throwing aside anything which prevents the people from accessing God freely. God does not want animal sacrifice, and he is certainly not interested in money. God wants us, our love and attention. We do not make people pay to come to church any longer, but I wonder if, whilst taking our metaphorical steps towards God, there may be other barriers we tend to put up, even unintentionally, which prevent ourselves and others from fully developing our relationships with Him. Perhaps this could be our reflection and prayer during this next week of Lent, in which I will be joining with you, to allow God to open our eyes that we may recognize any barriers we may have constructed, so that with His help we may tear them down, and by so doing, create a clear access to God's love, not only for ourselves, but for all His children. We make this our prayer, so that we may grow closer to God, even as He, through His love, draws us ever nearer to Himself. Amen. Our worship continues with today's anthem, "If ye love me, keep my commandments," by Thomas Tallis.